And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, January 10th. We're looking ahead to week 13 of the fantasy hockey season. Pete and Nick here with you, and we're joined by Waiver Wire James. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. An exhilarating weekend of NHL hockey. I think we had a bit of everything. We had a couple good scraps. We had some offense. We had some blown leads. So I had a great time. How are you, bud?
Doing well, and yeah, excited to get to some of these developments. I know some guys are back on COVID protocol, some guys are coming off the protocol, some guys are coming back from injuries, and some guys are out because of injuries. So a whole boatload of things to get to with you, James. How was your weekend, man, and what stood out around the league? We got the waiver wire list on nhl.com/fantasy as usual, man.
Yeah, what's up, guys? I know it's a crazy time right now. It seems that every other day somebody's going on COVID list or somebody's out with an injury. The Devils and Lightning game for Monday, you know, got postponed. So that's just another one to add to the list. So yeah, there's just so much to get to. So it's been just. It's been keeping me busy. That's all I can say, you know?
Yeah, waiver wire, James, always busy. And surely right now in these times, uncharted waters for the fantasy world, boys, as you know. Obviously, we'll start, you know, with some of the prevailing stories here on the waiver wire. And poor Brian Rust, I think, was overshadowed by the performance over the last little while of Alex Kerfoot. Top six, clearly, James, in the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. But he's on fire right now, and I'm with you. You got to pick him up right now, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you look at Kerfoot and what he's done all season, on top of the fact that he has been producing offensively, he also leads the team with a plus 19. So, you know, anybody in those leagues where plus minus is a category for you to win, or definitely, you know, is a points category, whatever it is, that just gives you a little bit more incentive to go out and add a guy like Alex Kerfoot. But try eligible in Yahoo, center, left wing, right wing. He has three straight multi-point games totaling 8 points, skating on that, in that top six. And I think that he has the ability to stick in that top six, even after Mitch Marner comes back, when he returns to the lineup. Andre Kasha as well, because we know that Kasha was skating in Marner's place on that top line, which is where Kerfoot is right now, next to Austin Matthews and Michael Bunting. And, you know, the Michael Bunting train has kind of lost a little bit of its luster right now. He's been very disappointing over the last month. So, reading the tea leaves and just kind of looking at it, if there's one player that I think could get dropped from that Toronto top six, it would be Bunting in favor of somebody like Kerfoot and Kasha staying there. So I definitely think Kerfoot has staying power, especially the fact that he's also on pace to crack 50 points for the first time in his career this year.
And we talked about it on the previous show, right, Nick? When you brought up Kerfoot, it was, drawn parallels back to the playoffs last year when he stepped up in an injury absence of John Tavares. He could play center for you. He could play left wing. He could also play right wing. It's not just that he has tri-eligibility. He'll actually play those three positions every different night. So he's very versatile. He's ignited here. He's worth picking up even in standard leagues. And I'll rank him ahead of Andre Kasha for the upcoming week for all those reasons that James mentioned. Another guy that's stepping up to the plate and delivering for Toronto is Ilya Mikheyev. Ever since he's come back from injury, he's had a high shot volume. He scored a bunch of goals, had an assist the other day. I know they blew that game, Nick, against the Colorado Avalanche in kind of a whimper fashion, but between two high scoring teams. But I still like what that team is bringing in terms of their offensive depth. And in a deeper league, I would certainly consider Mikheyev. That's one name I don't think we've mentioned on this show the entire year, but he's definitely surfaced here.
Yeah, I think definitely to piggyback off Pete, short-term look, Ilya Mikheyev, certainly from a DFS point of view, he's certainly a guy who's going to play in the bottom six. But, you know, as somebody who's covered the Leafs for the last couple of years, not so much this one, but You know, Mikheyev's a guy who has struggled to live up to the potential after the first half of his inaugural season in this league. So I think it's a welcome sight for the Leafs. I think short term, the value's there, but if the Maple Leafs do get back to full health here over the next little while, Mikheyev will slot back into a bottom six role. But any attachment, guys, and James, you can run off this, any attachment to Matthews or Tavares or Nylander or Marner, you have to be all over when it comes to fantasy hockey, especially the way the Leafs are scoring right now. If you do remember what the first 10 games of the season, they were scoring like 2 goals a game, but every night they come out, they score 4 or 5. You have to be all over that, right, James?
Oh, I mean, 100%. You know, it's the superstar effect, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether it's in Toronto, whether it's in Edmonton playing with, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, whether it's in Boston playing with somebody like, you know, Pasternak and Bergeron and Marchand, you know, whatever it is, when some of these low ownership guys come out of nowhere and find their way onto a top six line with one of these elite players, you got to jump on them. And that's why, you know, streaming, always having, you know, like a consistent streaming spot open on your roster so that you can cut ties with somebody and add a guy who gets put into a position like that so that you can run with it for a little bit is so important when you're talking about different fantasy strategies for the year.
James, you mentioned Boston and want to get your thoughts before we move on to some other players around the league at different positions, since we're talking about forwards here. Wanted to get your thoughts on Howla and Taylor Hall, depending on the type of league you're in. They're obviously playing with David Pastrnak. We mentioned it on previous shows, but we're bringing you on here. So I want to get what you think about this new line trio, whether or not it has staying power for the Boston Bruins, who just beat up on the Tampa Bay Lightning over the weekend, thanks largely to their secondary scoring. And a couple of those guys have some point streaks going.
For sure. I mean, we're finally starting to see Taylor Hall kind of break out the way that we expected Taylor Hall to break out once he went from Buffalo to Boston last year. And you know, now he's finally starting to settle in. He's got a 5-game point streak. Obviously, everybody knows Taylor Hall. Everybody knows the name. But I don't think a lot of people realize the fact that he's only 68% rostered. So he's still available in about a third of Yahoo fantasy leagues. And if he's available in your league, you need to be jumping on him right now. But for those deeper leagues, you know, for lack of a better term, those dumpster divers that you're looking for, the guys who are going to be in that, you know, single digit percent rostered, Eric Halla is 100% somebody you should be looking at right now. The one knock on Halla is just his shooting. In his last 5 games, he only has 6 shots on goal, but he's riding a 4-game point streak right now, a goal and 3 assists, and he does bring some other category coverage. He had 3 blocks in their last game. The 3 games before that, he had 8 hits. So, you know, he does bring that all-around category coverage. But again, he's playing on a line right now with David Pastrnak, who is, you know, an MVP caliber player, and he's playing on a line with Taylor Hall, who has previously been an MVP. So these guys know how to play and they know how to score. At some point, you expect that the Bruins will probably put that perfection line back together with Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron. But right now, just like I said, he has, you know, that exposure to 2 elite players and he's under 10% rostered. He's a guy that you have to be streaming right now.
I spent the majority of my weekend, guys, watching Emily in Paris on Netflix. It's tremendous. But aside from that, what I was getting to, I watched quite a bit of the Dallas Stars. And I think I'm always hesitant. It hasn't been the same as it was maybe, you know, 5-10 years ago, where it was the run and gun Dallas Stars. But there's certainly a player I've earmarked on this roster, especially this week when it comes to waiver picks. And so have you, Denis Gurianov. The last 4 games, James, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. He's playing with Ben and Sagan, and he's been on PP too. How do you feel about Denis Skorianov, I like to call him?
Unfortunately, producer Bob is sick today, and I know this is his boy, Denis Gurianov. So, you know, I had to throw him on there when he went on his little mini run as of late. But 2 multi-point games in his last 3, points in 3 of his last 4 overall. Got shut out over the weekend against the Blues when the Blues came back to beat the Stars, but I love the player. He has had inconsistencies in his short career so far. He did set a career high with 30 points in 55 games last season. And then this year now, he's on pace to hit almost 40. And that was before he was really playing in the top six and getting his expanded role with Ben and Sagan. I'm not really high on either Ben and Sagan to do much more than probably about 40, 45 points for themselves either this season. But right now, with the way Gurianov is playing, he's worth a stream for sure. And I really like the game that I'm seeing out of him over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Gurianov, like Howell, covers hits, but I think he has a much higher ceiling. I just think back to that 2020 postseason where he had the 5-point game and he had almost 20 points. He was probably the most valuable secondary scorer for the Dallas Stars during that postseason run, right? That was before kind of hints really exploded. It was before Jason Robertson was even in the NHL. So he's kind of gotten surpassed this past year and a half by those guys that I just mentioned. There's a new top line in Dallas. If you haven't heard, it's not Ben and Sagan's line anymore, but certainly I think Gurianov still has a bright future ahead of him. It's good to see him playing in the top six where he certainly belongs. I think they need to move away from Radulov. Obviously the Klingberg thing is going on right now with the trade request reportedly. So that's a storyline to watch. I know Klingberg's been underwhelming as well, but right, Nick, maybe you're going to want to pick up Klingberg now if he's floating out there on the waiver wire and hope that he gets traded. Cause it seems like this is not really working out during his contract year in Dallas.
Yeah, the market is certainly starting to pick up steam, you know, when it comes to the March 21st deadline. You know, definitely Jacob Chychrun's name is out there. I'm very, very curious in general to see what happens with the Dallas Stars guys. I mean, the Western Conference is big and mighty, and there's so many teams just racking up points that you start to wonder about. Dallas, John Klingberg's a name, Joe Pavelski's a name, Alex Radulov's a name. So from a fantasy point of view, like I have all eyes right now, both of my eyes, on the Dallas Stars to see what happens over the next little while, because I think there could be a bit of a ripple effect when it comes to fantasy hockey. Just wrapping here with James, you know, a couple other guys on your list. The guy who really got me this weekend when it came to one of my matchups, Brady Shea. I think anytime, we've talked about this almost ad nauseum the last little while, James, anytime you can find a consistent producer over a small body of games in the back end, you have to take that flyer because it's just so hard to find value on the back end in fantasy hockey.
You know, the thing that just gives me a little bit of pause about Brady Shea is all the other defensemen that the Carolina Hurricanes have. But like you said, it's really hard to shy away and look away from the fact that he is being productive right now. Yes, he only has 13 points on the season. So that puts him behind both Tony DeAngelo and Jacob Slavin on the team in defensive scoring. But look at his other numbers. He's fourth on the team in shots on goal this season with 71 shots on goal. So he's ripping the puck every chance that he has. And that tells me something about him. And the fact right now that he has points in four of his last five games, three of those are multi-point efforts. And he's just getting such great category coverage. He's getting shots. He's getting hits. He's getting blocks. He's scoring goals as of late. So yeah, he is definitely one of those guys, especially in deeper leagues, or if you have just the need, you know, you lose somebody like a Charlie McAvoy over the weekend, then you need to pick up a quick stream or something like that. Brady Shea is definitely one of those guys you should be targeting right now because he's seeing an expanded role and he has not, as of late, been afraid to shoot the puck.
And if you haven't heard, Severson, who we were talking about as being a replacement for Dougie Hamilton, he's now on the COVID list as well as a couple other guys, Jesper Bratt from the Devils. That's why James mentioned that game's getting canceled tonight. Same thing's going on with the Oilers. We were hoping maybe McDavid would come back on Monday. That's not going to happen because the game is canceled. And there were a couple other guys on that roster like Evan Bouchard, Kyler Yamamoto, a few others. So that game is in the bag as well. So you know, we're looking at some other teams that are playing this week. I know the Avs have a bunch of games. That's always a very safe team to add from in fantasy, whether it's Byram or Eric Johnson on the back end. EJ's having a nice bounce back season. There's also Pavel Francouz. We've mentioned him a number of times, but I thought it was really interesting. Like Kemper gets pulled the other day after three goals allowed on eight shots. Francois comes in, settles them down. I mean, that could be something that is a little telling for the future if we're going to do a little foreshadowing here and maybe assume that Francois is going to get some time, right, James, if he could stay healthy?
Well, I think that it was only natural that Francois was going to get some time because we've seen how much Kemper has played over the last 6 weeks. So, you know, you figure they're going to start working Francois in a little bit more. This week is going to be a perfect week because they do have two back-to-backs this week, tonight and tomorrow against Seattle and Nashville. And then Friday and Saturday, they have a back-to-back home and home with the Arizona Coyotes. So you have to expect that Francois is going to get two of those games this week and that Kemper is going to get the other two. And then from there, we'll just have to see. I think it's still Darcy Kemper's net. He's still won, I think, like 13 of the last 16 games that he's started. So he has been playing fantastic. I don't think one bad period where he and that team started completely slow against one of the most elite teams in the league really is going to hamper, you know, his ability to start going forward. But I do think that they're going to start getting Francois worked back in the mix a little bit more. So definitely as a matchup depending starter in a stream, for sure. And then if he starts to carve out, you know, a larger role, but if you're a Kemper owner, I think you should pick up Francois just to have the handcuff.
When in doubt, hit the over with the Colorado Avalanche. They've went over 6.5 the last three in a row, and that's probably where I'm going on Monday night against Seattle. James, excellent stuff. We'll talk next Monday, okay?
Yeah, guys, and hey, I mean, sports betting is now legal here in New York, so we can hit the overs all we want.
Love it.
I heard through the grapevine that James had a nice little wager Ooh. On the St. Louis Blues, who were down 1-0 in the third period, final minute, scored two goals, and James was doing a little dance over on Long Island with one of his first wagers in New York. So congrats, buddy.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. And it's very interesting to see the live odds change from 1 minute to the next minute. So, you know, when you get a good number, you got to jump on it. So I did. And I had a feeling that the Blues were going to come back and they nice. Made me a very happy man because the Jets definitely didn't.
Yes, the one and only waiver wire, James. And certainly it is that time of the fantasy season, especially right now, Pete. There's just so much going on. I think on a daily basis, you have to hit the wire, have to make sure what's going on. As you know, I love to bring up the schedule, so I think it's only fair that's where we go next. Certainly, we look at this week, tentatively speaking, 42 games on the slate. With James, we touched on Colorado, we touched on Boston. I think anybody within the top six who's playing on the power play, especially in Colorado, like JT Compher is another guy to bring up. I think you have to be all over that. And I'm really fascinated by the goaltending situation. You brought that up as well.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of guys out there. Like I feel like this year more than ever, I'm really monitoring those guys that are fringe top 200 players when they're healthy. And then they go out for a couple of games because of injury or COVID. People forget about them. Then all of a sudden you see Ricard Raquel, you know, bouncing back once Trevor Zegras returns. JT yeah. Compher is going to have a multi-point game this week. You just know it.
Guaranteed.
Joel Eriksson Ek is another one. He's slated to come back. The Wild only have one game this week. So you're going to have to be patient with recent adds like Kokkonen and Matt Boldy, who's been really good through two games, or Joel Eriksson Ek. You might only get one game out of him, but you could get a multi-point game with like four or five hits, and it could be well worth it. So I'm not dismissing the Minnesota Wild. Nick, I actually wanted to get your thoughts on Kirill Kaprizov's injury.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's on IR. It's a good week for it to happen with them only having one game, Minnesota. But who do you think steps up in the absence of Kaprizov? You think it's like Kevin Fiala getting that prime role maybe and starting to cash in on some of his high shot volumes?
Well, the good news is what Dean Evason, the head coach, was saying, I believe on Saturday, that they're expecting Kaprizov back as soon as the next game, which is Thursday. I think you hit the nail on the head. The fact that there's an elongated stretch of time off here for Minnesota works in their benefit, considering all the injuries, right? Spurgeon and Eriksson Ek and Kaprizov not now specifically. I think around that roster, you just need to elevate your play, and they have full credit to them. You lose some big pieces the way they have to step up. It always helps when Carl Hagelin helps you out. It's so funny. I was playing my buddy in fantasy hockey, and you know, he's got Marcus Foligno, and I'm like, how is Foligno getting credit on your roster for a goal when it's one of those rare goals where a guy scores into the empty net? But so be it. Imagine being Carl Hagelin, by the way. That's just tough, tough, tough. But Minnesota, people continue to sleep, in my opinion, on this team, and they shouldn't. I love these stories, Pete, where guys, you know, live up to expectation and elevate their play. And I think we're seeing that the last little while with Minnesota so banged up. They continue to be dogs in the betting market, and they continue to win and reward people who are going after them. So I'm not sleeping on the Wild, and I love that underdog story in general, but Kaapo Kähkönen, do you think it's time that maybe he grabs that crease? Like I obviously there's value in that file too, but I think across that roster, it's got to be like a guy like Fiala. If Kaprizov misses some time, he's got to elevate his play.
Yeah. And Zuccarello stepped up the last game for sure. And Fiala has room for a bigger role. You know, he had that breakout playoff, and then Kaprizov came in, kind of had to take a back seat to Kaprizov last year when he won the Calder. So, and Minnesota, like we've been critical of them for their lack of center depth, but all of a sudden now with Rossi, if needed, I know they just sent him back down to the AHL, might be a paper move, but maybe he'll be back. He's been decent so far, hasn't scored a point, but some decent peripherals. They have Eric Sinek, who covers categories, has had a breakout season prior to his injury, and Ryan Hartman's had a breakout season. So they got plenty of center depth now, and they could still address it at the trade deadline. So if they want to, or if they need to because of an injury. So yeah, really high on Minnesota. I think they're maybe in that 6 to 10 range of teams in terms of Stanley Cup contention. They really have a high ceiling in the years to come, and they could do some damage this year by winning a round or two. One other development, Artemi Panarin maybe could come back on Monday for the Rangers at the LA Kings. That would be big news. And I tend to wonder who's going to be the right wing on that line when it's all said and done. You know, it's Panarin and Ryan Strom, Nick, but who's the right side going to be? Is it going to be Barclay Goodrow? Is it going to be Alexis Lafreniere? I think if somebody sticks there, I know Goodrow is playing well. He's caught my eye a little bit on the waiver wire lately.
Take your pick, right? Again, like very similar to Ilya Mikheyev. I think there's a reason why Barclay Goodrow was brought in to the New York Rangers, and he's played that role to a T. But I think this is the expectation. Anytime you throw some dough and some term at a player, when somebody goes down, you've got to rise up. You're getting that promotion. I think clearly they trust in this guy defensively. And I think short-term, Goodrow's a guy, excuse me, I'm losing my, you know, he's certainly a guy I would have looked at last week. But I think in general, I don't know if there's staying power with Barclay Goodrow, right? Like, I think at this point in his fantasy career, if you want to call it that, we know what he is. And he's a guy who can fill in from time to time. So I'm not as bullish as others on Barclay Goodrow. I think he had his hay the last little while, you know?
Yeah, I do still think, though, like between Kako and Lafreniere, like, they haven't solidified those spots like we thought they would. And we've seen in recent years, like some funny names out there a couple of years ago. Jesper Fast was the third wheel on that line. Last year was a couple of different guys, not the names that you really thought. And then now it's Barclay Goodrow, who's another tri-eligible player in Yahoo Fantasy. He averages close to 2 hits per game with 70 and 36 games this year. So nice little floor for Goodrow there. And then once he starts scoring points, like he's got 6 and a +6 in his past 5 games, that's when you start to realize a player that has been extremely valuable the past couple of postseasons for the Sharks and the Lightning. And now for the Rangers, taking more of a leadership role because they don't have a big 5 of superstars. So he actually has a chance to find his niche in the top 6 and potentially with a guy like Goodrow, if he covers hits like that, he'll join the top 100 overall in fantasy in a jiffy. So that's what excites me about him. The floor is high and the ceiling's high if he sticks with Artemi Panarin and finds some chemistry.
And don't forget, Sammy Blay done for the season. So there's certainly a need. Again, there's just so much opportunity for guys like Kako and Lafreniere. And certainly Barclay Goodrow is a seasoned pro. He's grabbed this before and he has in the past. And we talked about it earlier. any attachment to the big boys in the NHL, you have to be all over it. So if you're looking at DFS play, certainly Barkley Goodrow. So Pete, I mentioned the schedule, 42 games in total, tentatively speaking, subject to change. We all know that, but the four teams you're looking at from a waiver perspective, Boston, Colorado, Seattle, and the Vancouver Canucks. Welcome back to them. I think the teams you want to stay away from when it comes to waiver ads this week, the two-game teams, Montreal, the Islanders, Ottawa, St. Louis, and there's a plethora of one-game teams, Calgary, Edmonton, Minnesota, the Devils, Vegas, and the Winnipeg Jets, six in total. But I wanted to bring up Calgary and Edmonton specifically because this goes hand in hand with a strategy I put out there in my 20 fantasy thoughts on Sunday, available right now on sportsnet.ca. Potentially, you know, buying assets right now that are idle, especially in Canada, and having that in exchange for a favorable schedule. Like, it's going to be funny when we get to the fantasy playoffs, Pete, and it's all Canadian teams play.
Right. It's going to be the Canadian teams and probably the Islanders just catching up on games.
What do we do
around the league? So yeah, it's something to think about this year, especially as there are going to be actual games played during that thing we thought would be the Olympic break. And it's going to be a lot of those teams that you just mentioned. So I think with Edmonton and Calgary, you're seeing some serious regression compared to the beginning of the season when those were like two of the top five teams, not only in the Pacific, but in the whole league. And then with the Islanders, I think you'll see some positive regression once they start playing again. And we actually, we trimmed down the power rankings this week to 20 teams, and we did have the Islanders in there just to show some appreciation for their schedule. 54 games remaining, most in the NHL for New York. So they didn't play all of last week. So get back in on the Islanders starting now. And then, they're from Colorado. Another guy I wanted to just give some love to, Gabriel Landeskog, has like at least a point in what, like, was it 14 straight games?
Yeah, played? That top line in general right now, Pete's on fuego.
Yeah, so I can't believe, so two guys that are usually in the rankings near each other are both just totally lighting it up, and I feel like nobody's talking about them. It's Landeskog with points in 14 straight games, and Jake Guentzel with points in 17 straight games. Another hot top line. I know Rust is in protocol now, but those have been extremely consistent teams. Those are teams that, whether it's the overs, whether it's the props market, those two guys are just totally lighting it up these days.
I just like teams that could score, score, and score. And certainly you can't say that about Alberta. I just wanted to add a couple things when it came to Edmonton and Calgary. I think there's some, there's a buy low window right now for Zach Hyman, Pete. One assist in the last seven, minus seven player. Again, any attachment to McDavid, Draisaitl, those likes, I think there's an opportunity to buy low. You look at Edmonton, 12 goals in the last five. But again, when you have McDavid, you have Draisaitl. I know Nugent Hopkins is dinged up right now. I think there's value in hunting a guy like Zach Hyman. And then on Calgary, I think a lot of this regret, like I do to a degree believe in Calgary. Maybe it's more so because I don't know what to expect from that Pacific division. But let's not forget, they've played, what, five games in the last month. They were rolling until the COVID outbreak, and then they stopped playing. They've started 25 goals in the past six games. So I'm definitely looking at a buy low on Jacob Markstrom specifically. Dan Vladar, if you need a stream start going forward, you know Daryl Sutter's going to grab the reins defensively. And another guy I'm looking at, and I don't know if you agree, is Andrew Mangiapane. One goal in the past eight, three goals since November 22nd. While this is expected, I think I've seen enough from this player over, say, the last year, what he did at the World Championship, what he did last season for Calgary, what he did early on, especially his damage he can do on the road, that I think you look at this blip in the schedule, maybe you buy low on a Mangiapane in general.
Yeah, some people are trying to get rid of him right now. I've seen people drop him. I've seen people trying to shop him in different trade offers. And I understand why. I mean, if you're looking at a guy that's like fringe top six for the Flames right now, you might be looking more at Blake Coleman with what he's doing.
He's been hot.
With a multi-point game over the weekend, some scattered points. He had a 12-shot game. He had an eight-hit game lately. So Blake Coleman starting to flex his category coverage muscles more so than Mangiapane, who's been scoring goals like crazy, or boom or bust, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, I think Coleman's closed the gap there. He's also dual eligible. I might pick up Coleman over Mangiapane for the rest of the season, but Mangiapane, you can't just get rid of him because then all of a sudden he'll score five goals in a week and he'll be back among the league leaders, right? That's how good he's been at points this year.
All on the road too, right? He loves scoring on the road, which is a rarity in this league. And I just wanted to bring up the point too. Like you talked about Barclay Goodrow, Blake Coleman is a perfect example of that. And funny enough, he played with Goodrow in Tampa and they were really, really successful at that. Just a guy who knows his role. And I think I always like to give the benefit of the doubt, guys who sign monster contracts on new teams. It takes a while to fit in, but I'm right there with you. It's a guy certainly I've been tracking in Blake Coleman that I expect a much better second half and maybe an elevated role. Cause we know Calgary, I know they've been scoring this season, but they're always looking for offense. So if Blake Coleman can provide it, I think he sticks there clearly in the top six in Calgary, Pete.
Yeah. And he's only 30% rostered. So you could still go out there and get him. You might be surprised to find him out there, but he'll be worth a very high ceiling and high floor. And a better option, I think, for the rest of the season than Barclay Goodrow, now that you drew that comparison. And then you mentioned the Boston Bruins. I think since we last talked, there are some chatter that Tuukka Rask may not even report to the ECHL or the AHL. Mm-hmm. He might just join the team outright, which is good news for fantasy. Might be rusty out of the gate, but you know, certainly you mentioned the schedule, some games coming up for Boston. Rask could return in the near future. Evgeny Malkin for Pittsburgh could return in the near future. He was like a game time decision over the weekend, didn't end up playing. And then with Charlie McAvoy banged up for Boston, seems like Mike Riley is starting to resurface as a streaming option. If you remember last season, you probably do, Nick, he started to rack up the assists when he was on first power play. He would get you power play assists. He's an assist specialist. And he would be the guy, I think, that would take advantage of any time missed upcoming for Charlie Mack.
Boston just sneaks up on you, don't they? Like they've won four of the last five. I think they're starting to rein things in. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday. And now all of a sudden, you know, Taylor Hall starting to catch fire. That's another guy I want to touch on. Five game point streak, two goals, four assists, 6 points, plus two, 11 shots on goal. Like he's doing everything for you. We talked about it with waiver wire James. I think the time is now to go look and go after a Taylor Hall because he's starting to catch fire. And in general in Boston, I think obviously there's extreme value in that team. Every year, I think we want to bury Boston and say, hey, it's time for a retool or a rebuild. It's just not going to happen when you have those guys like Pasternak's starting to cook. Bergeron's been shooting the puck a ton lately. Marchand's doing his thing. As long as those guys are on the roster, I can never count Boston out, Pete. Can you?
Yeah, they're like a much better version of San Jose. They just refuse to rebuild, but they're actually, you don't blame them because they're actually, they're going to be a contender again. I don't know if they'll win a playoff series, but they'll certainly be in position to hang with any team over a seven-game series come playoff time. Just wanted to run through some of these names because it gets complicated with all these guys coming in, coming out. So you got Marner, Tarasenko, Rust, Forsberg, Philip Forsberg, Evan Bouchard, Jesper Bratt, Spencer Knight, Hampus Lindholm, and Alex Goligoski on the COVID list as of record time. Coming off, Artemi Panarin, Trevor Zegras, Zach Werenski, Josh Norris, Andrew Kopp, Ryan Getzlaff came back as well. So now the Ducks have Getzlaff and Trevor Zegras back. So the top six looks a lot better. And then one other guy I really like, generally speaking, that's coming back next game, Florida Panthers, Sam Bennett will be back on line two after serving his 3-game suspension. So I think we covered it all, Nick. Great to be with you, man. And I think we'll continue to monitor the injury and COVID notes all week, and people should hit us up if they have any questions.
Yeah, it's keeping us busy. I just want to throw a couple plays before we wrap Monday. Clearly, I think you look at the Colorado puck line, maybe the over. They're scoring a lot right now. Detroit, San Jose on Tuesday, I'm looking at maybe the Red Wings money line in that game. Detroit needs a win badly. The Sharks returning from a 4-game road trip, Pete. And Wednesday, how about the Montreal puck line? They're coming back. It's going to be great to see the Montreal Canadiens back in action. And they always play the Boston Bruins well. They're on the road in Beantown. So maybe you look at the Montreal puck line if you're looking for some value, Petey.
Yeah, and I think the you know, as good as the Avalanche have been, it should be a cakewalk for them against the Kraken, but them going to Nashville has me worried a little bit for their sake. Nashville's playing really well. Saros has been great. So that'll be a watch game for me. The Leafs look to redeem themselves against the Golden Knights. We'll see. They'll be able to if you know, Pacioretty's out, if he remains out, he probably will be. And Leonard came back, but he's still a little banged up. So maybe a chance for the Leafs to bounce back. I think the Leafs Golden Knights game could get high scoring. And then certainly that Canucks Panthers game. It'll be interesting to see how the Canucks fare in a tough spot against the Panthers, who will be fully healthy, including Sam Bennett, like I mentioned, for Florida. So yeah, good stuff there. And looking forward to the week ahead. Another good one here. So NHL Fantasy on Ice will be back with you on Thursday. For Nick, this is Pete saying so long at the Golden Muzzy. For Nick, at NHL Jensen, for myself, leave us a review if you haven't already on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the NHL Fantasy Facebook page. And we'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening.